the given faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we are given the tools, we are given the weapons that we need to fight in this battle. Twice we are told here that Paul tells us in this text, in Ephesians, to put on the armor of God as protection. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, and defend ourselves and fight back against the enemy. Tim Keller, in his book, Prayer, the Experiencing the Intimacy and All with God, says this: the basic idea is that all the benefits of Christ's salvation, pardon, peace, God's love for us, that have been objectively secured for us, must be personally appropriated for our daily life. These things are abstractions until they are inwardly received for our actual use. In other words, our pardon, our peace that we have with God, all of that's an abstraction until we inwardly grab it. And Keller goes on to say this: they must not only grip our heart, but shape our life through the operation of God's Spirit. The armor of God must be appropriated or put on correctly for it to be effective in restoring us and our lives to be Christ-like and protecting us from the evil one. If the armor of God is going to help the church begin to be beautiful from the restoration process that's going on, we must put it on correctly. Now, a couple of years ago, the world was focused on West Africa, where there was an outbreak of Ebola virus. And this virus reached epidemic proportions. Ebola is highly contagious, and it spread through contact with bodily fluids from anyone who has the virus. Just getting some sweat on your skin can transfer the virus from one person to another. And so those caring for the sick had to be very, very careful. In fact, they had to wear protective clothing. And healthcare workers had to be very, very careful that they were completely covered with protective clothing when they were working with sick people that had the Ebola virus. A small gap, just a little tiny gap between your sleeve and the glove, could be an open spot where the Ebola virus could get through the protection and cause the person to become infected. So just, you had to keep the clothing, it had to be put on exactly right. And so as more and more was learned about how virulent the Ebola virus was and how important the protective clothing for health workers was, the workers had to develop, and the people working in this area had to develop protocols, specific protocols that had to be strictly followed to ensure protection from the disease. In other words, protocols went even so far as to say that one health care worker had to watch the other healthcare worker while they put on this protective clothing to make sure it was done correctly. Because if you messed up, if you have one little spot open of skin, you could become infected as you worked with these people. So these protocols were very important. And thankfully, because people followed that and that was discovered and that was known, the epidemic was able to subside. The epidemic was curtailed because people were very careful and these protocols were followed as they fought the disease. A major factor in winning the battle against this virus was healthcare workers following these protocols of putting on their protective clothing correctly. And so it is that we must put on the armor of God correctly and follow the protocol for putting on the armor of God so it will provide the protection that we need and will give us the defense, and it will give us the weapons that we need to fight against the evil one. So how do we protect ourselves from the temptations of life that would infect us? How do we stand strong in the Lord? How do we become attuned to spiritual warfare that is going on behind the scenes in situations all around us? How do we fight this war? How are we able to rest in the assurance of God's love amidst Satan's attacks? Paul doesn't leave us to find out what the protocol for putting on the armor of God to ourselves. He tells us right here in the text. He tells us right here in verse 18. In verse 18 he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. Notice here that prayer is not part of the armor of God. Prayer is never compared to a shield or a helmet or a belt. It's not one of the items of the armor of God. Rather, prayer is the procedure, the protocol for putting on the armor of God. It is the way we apply the provisions of Christ to life's battles. Christ has provided us great things in the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. All of these things are provided for us, but the way that we apply them is through prayer. Keller again writes this, "You can't get more basic than this. Prayer is the way that all things we believe in and all that Christ has won for us actually become our strength. Prayer is the environment we live in if we belong to Christ. Do you feel weak and vulnerable? Are you having trouble lifting up the shield of faith while you're being attacked with temptations and doubts? Do you feel the protection of the breastplate of righteousness? Do you feel that Christ's righteousness, do you have that understanding that Christ's righteousness protects you? Paul tells us, tells the Ephesians here, pray, and then pray again, and then pray some more, and then pray for me. That's what his message is. Charles Wesley put it this way in the hymn, "Soldiers of Christ Arise." Put your armor on, attend with constant prayer. So prayer is the connection between putting on the armor of God, using the armor of God that you've been given. Prayer is how that's done. The schemes of Satan and his evil cohorts are more deadly than the Ebola virus. If we want to be protected and see evil defeated, we must put on the armor of God through prayer. Again, Piper writes this. He says, who considers that the casualties of this war do not merely lose an arm or an eye or an earthly life, but lose everything, even their souls, and enter a hell of everlasting torment? Until we feel the force of this, we will not pray as we ought. We will not even know what prayer is. That is so Piper in terms of just coming across and saying, look, if you don't understand how deadly this is, and this is, we're talking about eternal things here, you don't even understand what prayer is. Piper goes on to say this, prayer is the communication with headquarters by which the weapons of warfare are deployed according to the will of God. Prayer is the walkie-talkie of the church on the battlefield of the world in the service of the Word. It is not a domestic intercom to increase the temporal comforts of saints. It malfunctions in the hands of soldiers who have gone AWOL. It is for those on active duty, and in their hands it proves the supremacy of God in the pursuit of the nations. When missions move forward by prayer, it magnifies the power of God. When it moves by human management, it magnifies man. The armor of God is worn well, and when it is, we are actively engaged in our relationship with the Lord through prayer. It is effectual when we are communicating with God constantly, listening to Him through His Word, led by the Spirit, and expressing the thoughts and affections and desires and emotions of our hearts in prayer. Prayer isn't just about putting these things on, but it's expressing our heart about these things as we talk to God about them. Now, Paul helps us accomplish this by giving us instructions on how to pray. He says in verse 18, praying all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. Sinclair Ferguson says this about this verse. He says, this is perhaps Scripture's most comprehensive single sentence on how we are to pray. Now, that's pretty a big sentence. Then, if the prayer is that important, and Ferguson is saying this is the sentence about how we're to pray, we ought to pay attention to this. It seems to be a summary. This text here seems to be a summary of Paul's personal habits of prayer, And it's very instructive for us. It's very helpful. First, it tells us to pray at all times. Prayer is not to be just the reaction of the moment. It's fine to pray in the reaction of the moment, but what Paul is saying here is that prayer is to be a constant lifestyle. It is steady. It's regular communication with the Lord in a person-to-person relationship. And it's consistent, and we understand that we're living, when we are consistent in prayer and praying this lifestyle of prayer, it helps us to understand that we live in the presence of God continually. And think about that. If I know I'm living in the presence of God continually, how does that help me when the evil one comes against me? I know that I'm in the presence of God. And prayer, so you need this constant atmosphere of prayer around you. We understand that God is with us, and we dialogue with Him all day long. I have conversations with my wife all day, I mean, or during the day. We'll maybe call each other or text each other during the day, and we'll have conversations about things that are going on during the day. And we might, just have a short conversation before one of us leaves for work, that type of thing. But there are also times, because of our relationship as husband and wife, there and our family, there are times when we have to sit down and talk, and really talk through some issues or some things that are going on, and just make plans together. Those types of things, we have to focus on things that are coming on our family and this type of thing. And hopefully, we're able to do this on a daily basis. Hopefully, we're able to do this often. But it's important for our marriage that we have these conversations that are focused on each other. And it's the same as true of your relationship with the Lord. You need to have those short communications all through the day. You need to have those messages where you and God are communicating throughout the day in this lifestyle of prayer. But you also need to set specific times, a time when you come together and you pray. And you get before the Lord and you pray. D.A. Carson, in his book, Praying with Paul, says this: much praying is not done because we do not have a plan to pray. There's a couple of double negatives there, but we don't pray because we don't have a plan, is what Carson is saying. We do not drift into spiritual life. We do not drift into disciplined prayer. We will not grow in prayer unless we plan to pray. That means we must self-consciously set aside time to do nothing but pray. Now, my schedule is such that I don't have a set time each day that I pray, but that I do have a time where I set aside a time for prayer every day. I do have a scheduled time of when I'm going to pray. For instance, so a couple of mornings a week, three mornings a week, I have very early morning Bible studies with guys in our church, and I'm not one of these people that likes to get up at 4:30 in the morning, so I get up at 5:30 in the morning and go to the Bible study, and then when I get done with the Bible study, I go when I have a time of prayer. The other 2 days of the week, I'm up earlier, and I pray right when I get up. So there's these times, these set times of prayer. But I've learned, and through this, so when you have a time, you just need to have a time. Your day may vary too, but set aside, schedule, put it in your planner, plan to say, I'm going to pray on Wednesday at this time. That's when I'm going to set aside time to pray. I've learned that if we want to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of Christ, if I want to really do that and overcome the temptations and the sinful patterns that can break into my life, I and not be anxious about things, I want to trust the Lord, I must set aside a time for daily prayer. If I don't, those things are going to happen instead of prayer. And so it's very, very important. The point is, if you value your relationship with the Lord, then and you want to continue this restoration that God is doing in you, prayer is a very vital part of that. You need to be ready at all times, but schedule specific times of prayer and don't let other things crowd it out. Second, it says we are to pray in the Spirit. And by this, Paul is reminding us that our need for the Spirit is to guide our prayer. We rely on God's power and his wisdom as we pray. And that needs to be kind of how we order our prayer. To pray in the Spirit is to be spirit-filled as we pray. And we are submitting our thoughts and our desires to the Lord as we are praying. Remember this, the Spirit and the Word, and I'm sure Kevin's taught you this, the Spirit and the Word always go together. The way the Spirit guides you is through the Word. There's this motivating power of the Spirit, but if it's motivating you, it's motivating you to follow the Word. And so Spirit and Word go together, and that should guide us in our Christ-likeness, and it should guide us in our prayer. And so this is why, you know, times of prayer should include reading the Scripture. And in fact, even praying the Scripture. I love the song that we did earlier that was from Scripture. That you made a point of talking about that, that it is from the Scriptures that we sing. Well, that's actually praying, if you think about it. And so pray the Scriptures. Reading Scripture before and while you pray allows God to speak to you through His Word while you're engaged in this personal relationship with Him. It helps combat, and also helps you combat mental drift. How many of you have said, I'm going to pray, and you sit down and you start to pray, and your mind wanders off on something over here? Okay, it also helps you to combat that. Sometimes it's not so bad that if, when your mind wanders, pray about whatever your mind wanders to. That's one of the things that Paul Miller talks about. But again, Scripture helps you focus on what you're on prayer. Use the Scripture to pray God's promises back to Him. If you have a regular Scripture reading plan, that's helpful. If you don't, I find that reading large sections of Scripture every day is cumbersome. I limit my Scripture reading to Psalms, one Psalm every day, a chapter of Proverbs, and then another chapter out of the Bible. That's my reading. I don't try and, you know, these plans where you read 18 chapters and try and get through the Bible in 6 months and stuff. I find that doesn't really, it doesn't really help me, okay? Whereas reading a smaller amount of Scripture and really thinking through it is more helpful. And again, it may be better to read a short section and meditate than reading several chapters. But a good place to start, again, is if you need a place to start, it's a psalm and then one other chapter. Find two or three verses in there that really strike you as you read, and pray those back to the Lord. Pray about those. Listen to the Spirit as you read the words of Scripture. And third, Paul tells us here that we are to pray with all prayer and supplication. And that is, this means that we are to pray all different kinds of prayers. We are to pray adoration, we're to confess, we're to give thanksgiving, and we're to pray intercession for other people. I keep a little book, and this is how I kind of keep this organized, is I keep a little book, and this little moleskin book, this is where I keep my prayers. And I have a few pages for each day of the week. So Sunday has like 4 or 5 pages, and it starts out, there's a Scripture verse that I've written in here, so it becomes mine because I write it in here. And then, after a few Scripture verses on prayer, on whatever the topic of the day is, I have prayers for that particular day. Today was Sunday, so I pray for worship. I pray for usually Crosswater and our worship service and that type of thing. Today I prayed for you because I was coming here. I prayed for Crosswater too, but so that's listed in here. And then other days of the week, on Mondays, I pray prayers of Thanksgiving. So I have Scriptures about Thanksgiving, and I pray Thanksgiving, just thanking God for all He's done. It's good to do after worship, is to do that. Tuesdays, I pray for other churches. So every Tuesday, I pray for By Grace. You're one of the churches. And so I have a list of, I don't know, there must be 20 or 30 churches. And that's not just PCA churches. I pray for all the churches around us in our neighborhood and things like that. Wednesdays, I pray for the lost. And then Thursdays, I pray for those people that I'm discipling, that I've got them in a discipling relationship with. I'm the 60-year-old youth pastor, okay? I have the youth group at our church. And so, you know, I'm discipling. We have about 18, 20 teenagers in our youth group at Crosswater. And so I'm discipling them. So I pray for them every Thursday, along with the men that I'm discipling in the church. And then on Fridays is time to get ready for worship. And so that's a time of confession. I look back over the week and go, where have I been drawn away from the Lord? And pray for that. So those are the kinds of things that that I pray for. And again, this is my little book and this is my method. But I would encourage you, if you don't have a method for regular prayer, develop something. Paul Miller, in his book, A Praying Life, talks about using prayer cards. That's a great method if you want to use that. But I encourage you, find something that will give you some type of regular prayer. Our prayers are going to influence the health of our community. And if you don't pray, you're not donning the armor of God. And if you aren't donning the armor of God, you're standing against the evil one without the protection that God has given you. And so you need to be developing that in prayer. Paul asked the Ephesians here to pray specifically, would they pray for him? In verse, it says, that his mouth boldly proclaimed the mystery of the gospel. The proclamation of the gospel in this community is the way that it's going to be transformed. And so you need to be about praying for that. And now, the Ephesians were instructed to pray for Paul. I'm instructing you, pray for Kevin. Pray for your elders. I love the prayer that was said earlier. Pray for the leaders of your church. Pray for each people in your church to be about the proclamation of the gospel, because that's the transforming power for this community. So pray. And again, we're warned here that we're to keep alert with all perseverance as well, that we are to pray for the proclamation, but be perseverant in this. And so the words remind us of Jesus' words to his disciples that on the night that he was arrested, he went off to pray, and he took some of the disciples with him, and they went to them, and he told them that he was going a little farther to pray, and so they pray that, and he tells the disciples, pray that you may not fall into temptation. And so he withdrew a few yards down and he prayed, and he returns to find them sleeping. And he says, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. We are warned to be diligent in prayer and keep alert. Again, I think if you develop this lifestyle of praying all the time, if you have the habit of talking to yourself, okay, which some people do, then just turn that and talk to God, okay? Pray, just use the times when you're thinking to yourself to be praying to God and praying to Him. Keep that atmosphere of prayer around you all the time. Now, I've shared with you some of the aspects of my prayer life and praying. Your plan, again, may be very different, but do what works for you. Do, as long as you are praying, do something that works for you. If you're not praying, again, start small. Say, I'm going to spend 10, 15 minutes in a special time of prayer this next week, and begin using Psalms as a great place to start as far as the scripture reading goes with that. But whatever you do, you need to pray. And as Paul says here, pray again and pray some more. If you want the benefits of God's armor applied to you, if you want the protection that God's armor supplies, prayer is the way that you put it on. And you've got to follow the protocol. Otherwise, you are susceptible to the enemy's attacks. Now, I want to do something different. I would usually close in prayer. I want to do something a little different this morning because I know I don't know where we are time-wise, but I want to give you the opportunity to pray and to start now. And so we do something at Crosswater. We call it Prayers of the People. And every so often, once or twice a quarter, we just open up the time during the worship time to people to pray. And I'm going to ask you if you'd like to pray right where you are, and these are out loud, and pray short prayers, two or three sentences. You may want to, as we do this, you may want to think about preparing for the supper that we're about to partake of. In other words, prayers that are to that, prayers of thanksgiving for Jesus' sacrifice, anything along that line. But I want to open it up to give you an opportunity to practice what I've preached, okay? So we'll give you an opportunity to pray. We'll do this for a few minutes, and then I will close this in prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray as you feel led. Again, keep them to two or three sentences, not long, long prayers, but just some short prayers of prayer to the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do come to you and we thank you that we can call you our Father, that this relationship is with a great King, but it's a great King who is our Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the great love that you have for your children and how you have given us the right and the ability and to come before you with our prayers. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide our prayers, that you pray for us, and sometimes things that we don't even understand. And so we thank you for that. Father, we also come and we thank you that you loved us so much to send us your Son, and that he taught us, he showed us what you are like. And Father, we thank you that he was willing to pay the penalty for our sins, for the times where we have rebelled against you. And while we were still sinners, he died for us, and we can't even comprehend how great a love that is. But Father, we thank you that you love us that much. Father, help us to be compelled by that love. Help us to be motivated by that love, to love you and to love our neighbor. And Father, we would pray that you would help us to love you so much that we want to spend time with you in prayer. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.